Blog Talk Radio.
You know what, Bill?
Hey.
I like to say hello to everybody first.
There you go.
Thanks for joining us. I picked out a new, this is probably going to be our new opening thing, Bill, but I'm going to play it and let everybody send us a note on how they think about it.
All right, this is the, beside being the co-host, of course, Screwdriver's a full engineer. He's always trying new stuff. You got something you agree with, you call in, you text us. You got something you disagree with, you call in, you text us. Remember, this is our show all together, folks. We can override him if we don't like it. So let's hear it.
Here we go.
Good friend up there, the big homie.
Right. Would you like to hear the rest of it?
Well, let me think about that. You know what? So far, the beginning's got me intrigued. I've not heard this by the big homie, Mike P. But, let's go see what else we got there.
Great, Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on. Put the 5-0, man, we out of control. Bad motherfucker, why the 2-9? A 50 motherfucker, and I love him. Come on, Mike. Bitch, you be blowing up my chopper, all man. Little love for the other side, don't need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep that blood. Now, the kid, just as I'm in the ass. Look, that's the picture, man, I ain't gon' pay. Gotta do 30 days, lock up the CJ. Swear to God, I'm gonna get the roll in. Track like I'm a bike, get the pro in. The third motherfucker, speak call me. Like a mom, cause the kids, when it's time to eat. Come approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm gonna send you a roll to the mall.
Mike P, the big homie. Anybody don't like that, you let us know. Anybody likes that, call us and let us know. Now, you've met Mike P a few times up there.
That's correct.
I still haven't caught up with him at whatever reason, all that. So
we're looking at a CD right here, Bill.
Yeah.
got about 12 songs on it, and
he's a motorcycle rider from San Fernando area, I assume it is, you know.
That's true. Beverly Hills, San Fernando Valley.
You know what, since you kind of introduced me to him, because I'm not familiar with that style, I think CDs, every time he's getting better, sounds better. I think that boy's ready to start blowing up any day now, you know? So, Mike P, hats off to you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, if you like that music, let us know. If you want something different, let us know, too. How was your week?
Everything's good.
All right. I had a busy week. I had a busy, busy week.
And usually I get asked, Bill, I haven't punched anybody today. No. Behaving myself.
Vietnam Vets Motorcycle here in San Diego are having a big bash this weekend. You know that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, also, you and I have been invited to do that VIP bad ride, Mike's just diabetes, up at Irvine. So that's kind of keep
correct.
You two places. And
well,
you told me now that Mike P, the big homie, is going to be up somewhere this weekend.
San Bernardino.
So three places. I can't be on this one. I want to check his show out one time. I think he'd be a good live act, so, but not this weekend. So we got to figure out Vietnam Vet Ride, the VIP ride for the diabetes people. We'll work on it. It's only Thursday. We got 2 days left.
That's correct. So what? The other one I had for you, Bill.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I remind everybody that Assemblyman Floyd has died.
Fuck Floyd.
Well, you know, the man's passed away. I'm going to try to say something nice about the man. I hope that he thought he was doing the right thing. I don't know what his real
name
was.
You better watch it. All them guys that call you Mr. Progressive are going to come out
dead.
Of Uber.
The man's dead. There's no he's bad-mouthing him now. I never had respect for the man when he's alive. Maybe, in case you don't know who I'm talking to, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Yahoo that brought the Helmer Law to fruition here in California. He pushed it through. We thought it was impossible, but somehow this one man aggravated the hell out of us for years. He has passed away. Nobody's losing any tears over him. However, I'm going to see he's dead, so I'm going to say something nice. I hope down deep inside he thought he was doing the right thing, so I'm going to let that go. I never said a nice thing when he was alive.
Well, you know, I got a special request today from Tim at Local 11 of a bait bill.
Tim?
Yeah. You remember that bar out there by Lake Wolford?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he says our friend Connie, who has run the Oakville Bar and Grill overlooking Lake Wolford, where it had been our meetings for many years past, has a permit to reopen the bar and grill. She's in need of help getting it ready, so Local 11 is having a cleanup party there on Saturday, August 27th at 10 a.m. You probably have a barbecue going. Connie has always taken care of us. Let's take care of her. Any questions, call Tim at 858-740-528.
Tim's good friends and our good friend John Del Santo.
That's correct.
You want to try to put that in your calendar and see if that fits in? Maybe we'll take a ride out there?
Yeah, we can try that one, see what happens.
Problem is, as we get closer to that date, other things come up and all that. We sometimes don't make up, so...
Right.
That's why I kind of hate to say we're going to be someplace, and people say, well, we heard you guys were 100 miles away. Well, we can't be everywhere.
No.
We're
going to
try.
And then, of course, you might want to talk
now
about...
Now, you told me that we're going to change the babe of the week.
You did.
Yes,
well,
you told me that.
We did. And this week it's...
Her name is Kasha?
Kasha Jordan.
Jordan?
She's back again. She knocked off the girl that was for the last three weeks. So I'll show you those pictures here.
Well, for you folks at home that can't see the pictures, too bad.
But you can't see the pictures.
If you yes.
If I let me bring that up for you right now, real quick.
We'll take the pictures off so they can do that. That's great. A new babe of the week. Remember anybody out there that wants to be our babe of the week? Just send us some pictures and let us know. Pulling for real people.
That's correct.
Also, big boobs and low self-esteem, but real people, you know what I'm saying. You don't have to be modeling on a motorcycle, but it kind of helps a little bit, but not necessarily so.
Right. Would you reach over and stick sunshine out the door there, Bill?
Okay.
Every time we get, you know, we get going. Well, you didn't have to close the door, but yeah, I closed the door. He'll come back in. Our little visitor there. About 80 pounds of pain in the ass.
Well, he finds the show, you know, addicting. He wants to get in and get involved in the show.
No, he wanted to see the pictures.
Oh, well. So we got Las Vegas coming up. I know it's a little bit away yet. Let's try to think about doing that one, and then maybe Palm Springs after that. So a lot of stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen. We hope to see you guys
somewhere.
At some of these events, yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we also have Sherry's in calling us from Dresden, Tennessee. It seems that Stormy Montana is playing the fair tonight.
Oh, outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe she puts on a really great live show.
Yes.
There are studio people and live people, and I think Stormy goes out there with the force of her personality. I think that she really makes the audience, she connects with the audience.
Right.
It's like when I've seen Willie Nelson all these years, I always try to get center stage tickets because he don't move to the left or to the right. He's just there. So I bet you Stormy's all over the A stage.
And then the other thing, Bill, is I got another email from John today.
John Del Santo.
That's correct. It's the CHP Motorcycle Rider, or let's see. It's run by the CHP, Bill, I guess.
All right.
For basic riders or advanced riders courses, check out the Motorcycle Safety Foundation
mm-hmm.
and see rider course info or Rider's Edge at ridersedge.com. Or if you're on active duty or active reservist, dependent, an active duty person, a DOD employee, drilling, or active duty reservist with or their dependents, medically retired personnel or military retirees, check the NavyMotorcycleRider.com about your free training, which I signed up for that free training.
All right, I'm going to say something about this. I absolutely believe if you have a chance to take these classes,
take them,
without a doubt. I don't care if you've been riding like me 30, 40 years, more than 40 years actually, but anytime you can improve your skills, it helps. Now, we had, there was a program out at MiraCosta College at one time, a long time ago. They asked me to come out, one of my choppers. I went through the course. I blew the course apart. It was nothing. It was a joke to me. So I came in, I parked my bike, and the instructor said to me, oh, Mr. Kennedy, absolutely amazing. I said, oh, thank you. He said, class, would anybody here raise a hand if they find out that Mr. Kennedy did anything wrong? Every person in the class raised their hand. Apparently, I have so many bad habits, but the teacher said that because I've been riding for so long, I overcompensate. The most simple one I remember coming to my mind is because of motocross desert racing and all that, when I get into a turn, and you've seen me, I fall into the turn. They're trying to tell you long, graceful arcs. But unfortunately, I wasn't raised that way, and it's part of my nature now. So that is one of the wrong things to do, because if you hit transmission fluid or brake fluid, when I'm cutting real hard, I'm going down. But there's no chance in the world I can change it. So for those people that think that those classes won't teach you anything, I guarantee you they will.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree with everything they say in the classes, but the overall knowledge you're going to get is fantastic. Any chance, any time you get to gain knowledge, don't be afraid of it.
And speaking of Willie Nelson, I just got this from Tiger Lily, and she made a video, and you can watch it at, I'll put that up.
Yeah.
In the chat room, but it says she didn't get permission from Willie Nelson to use his music.
Mm-hmm.
She buys him a bag. She'd have no problem.
You gotta give that Tiger Lily a lot of class. You know, she doesn't have a giant machine behind her. She's pretty much, we'd say, one person out there doing what they can to make a difference. And in Tiger Lily's case, good for you, little girl. Good for you indeed. Hopefully, I'll catch up with her at maybe the Cashman Center Saturday night at the Las Vegas party, or maybe she'll come to Palm Springs or. You know, I'm even talking about the Love Ride coming back. This time, going to Stag Park. I don't know if I'm going to be in town for that or not, but
And then I got a message from Kale.
Yeah.
And Rusty and T-Rod made the cover of OC Weekly.
Well, my friends from Orange County brought down a copy for me to look at. They let me keep it, though. Very good article, very nicely done. It shows that the people there in Orange County are willing to accept motorcycles as an art. And in Rusty and T-Rod's case, that's what they're building. They're building pieces of art. They're building machinery that's gorilla tough, but museum pieces, I think. So that's kind of classy.
Right. And we just got an instant message from Finland, Bill.
Finland.
Yeah. Joanna sent us an instant message.
She wants
to know how we're doing and sends hugs and kisses.
Joanna, this is California. It's like in the high 70s, maybe almost 80. We're in you and I are in our T-shirts and more clothes. I rode my motorcycle, but I left my jacket in my back because I didn't need it. So as far as us in California, we're doing fine. I hope everybody in Finland's doing good. She said some of my friends came in from Norway the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pretty shocked about what happened with that shooting over there.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, because Finland's not, I mean, excuse me, because Sweden's not the biggest country in the world, everybody seemed to be, knew somebody, a relative or a friend or something involved in that. So that was quite devastating. You just don't picture that in Sweden, Norway.
No, you don't. We just got an instant message from Melanie, and she said that if we would please, she's getting her hair done by a guy named Magic Hands Thomas.
We cannot be judgmental of other people. We need to be open-minded.
She's getting ready to go to the Sunset Strip Musical Festival,
which is going tonight,
tomorrow, and Sunday. And she asked us if we'd support the abused animals, the SPCLCALA.
We hope everybody works with the animals in the neighborhood. We have a lot of humane societies. They need a lot of volunteers down there. So anybody that can go down there and help, of course, that's kind of nice to go with that.
Well, Teddy Flex joining us. Teddy says that he still needs to take a safety course running on his permit, let my license go years ago, and it's 90 in Missouri, Bill. It wouldn't be so bad. We don't have the humidity they have because we're like in the desert part.
You know, I got to tell you, hang on a second, Missouri. Something's coming back. The Chiggers. I was in Missouri, yeah. And those little Chiggers are nasty things. I don't know how you guys put up with them like that, but that got me out of Missouri pretty quick.
Well, you know,
hey.
Joanna's listening to us in Finland, Bill. She started to listen, and she says she likes my voice. When are we coming to Denmark for the 3.9 trance party?
Last time we were in that area, we were for the Super Rally over there. That was a couple years ago. I'm not sure the 3.9 trance. That's not a biker party. Yeah.
Well, I just brought back that you're asking what it is, so.
Yeah, I know. It's not the big biker party I know of. We have an awful lot of friends up in Norway and Sweden. We've been through Denmark, but I don't know anybody down there. So hopefully on my travels one time I stop and say hello to her. But mostly you find us up in Stockholm and over there. And Sweden, Norway, that's pretty much where a lot of our friends are at.
Right. Hello, caller.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Phil.
What's up?
I'm a, I have wide breasts and I have a low self-esteem. Can I make the calendar?
Sure.
Thanks.
You don't need makeup or lipstick or nothing, brother. You just come right on. We're waiting for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well,
I'm at my girlfriend's house. That's why. I don't know if the number came. Did it come up blocked or could you see the number?
It came up on Skype.
Did?
Yeah, you're up on Skype.
I'm on Skype? You have
yeah.
Skype on this phone? I don't know. He says it came up on Skype.
That's okay. No worries. You're there now.
Well, whatever. Oh, on the phone. Anyway, what's happening? Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, shoot, buddy. I got the whole world on my shoulders. But you know what? I'm taking it one thing at a time. Identify the problem, got the solution, and move on to the next one. But I got relatives, I swear to God. I'm healthy as a horse. Every relative around me's had problems, including...
That horse you had died.
As if I didn't have enough problems, a friend of mine, his kid passed away. He's 3 years old.
He said,
please come to the funeral. I've been to so many funerals for so many people our age. You know what? It's just a funeral to me. That three-year-old kid broke my heart. They had pictures of the baby up there, and I'm going, oh, what the hell? I don't even know why I'm there. Everybody there is some conservative, clean-cut, blah, blah, blah. And I'm the only one there in the motorcycle. But for some reason, the guy said, you know, Bill, it'd mean a lot to me if we show up. So I didn't. Yeah, it was kind of tear-jerky and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's...
However, we press on. Screwdriver now, our major concern this week. Right now, I have no more hospital visits for any of my relatives, so I hope I'm okay. We got two or three events we're supposed to be at this weekend, and once again, we can't be everywhere. But you live in California, damn it, sometimes there's too much going on.
Uh-huh. Are you, I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
Hey, Bill, they passed a new law in Massachusetts.
Yeah, tell them, that's what I was going to say. You want to tell them about that?
What, the law says I can't go back home again, or what?
Well, no, it's called the Menace Law. And our great governor, Deval Patrick, I don't know if he's passed it yet. It came up in a class that I'm in this class because of my arrest. And it came up in the class, and they call it the Menace Law. And Deval Patrick passed it, or it's in the process of being passed. And what it is if they feel you're a menace on the road, whether you're on a motorcycle or a car, they can go to the registry and have your license pulled, revoked for good. Not suspended, taken away for good. So my whole, when I was brought up in the class, my whole thing was this. Well, they're going to start profiling people now, bikers especially, black, Spanish, whatever, people with long hair and tattoos, right? Think about it. You're on a bike, you're riding down the highway, state police, they see you, the menace law is now enacted, they're like, oh, let's get him, you know. They wait a day, they grab you again, they get you enough times, they get you under the menace law, now they've got your license. They get your driver's license, they get your motorcycle license, and you can't ride ever again. I think it's bullshit. I think it's wrong. There's going to be a lot of stereotyping. Deval Patrick is black. He's the governor. He should know better. But this is Massachusetts, so as Mel Gibson said in one of his movies, everything in Massachusetts is wrong or illegal. Yep, so it's called the Menace Law.
I wasn't aware of that. You know, I got to tell you, I have a couple of friends of mine that, you know, we have Indian casinos out here, Indian reservations.
Yeah.
I have some friends of mine that won't leave the Indian reservations. They've never really said why. They just feel that it's safer and it's more honest being on the Indian reservation, and they don't want to leave the reservation ever. They ride. We have several reservations out here, so these guys can go from reservation to reservation relatively quick. But they don't feel safe on the California roads, but they feel better on the sovereign land. So that's kind of a sick statement of what America's about. These people feel safer on the Indian rules. I got to tell you something, people. We got a party on Saturday night on the Indian reservation, and around 6 o'clock we're going to have. That's with the Vietnam vets and the legacy vets. I'm going to try to roll out there. I've made it every year. We're going to have a celebration of all the vets. We're going to have the American flag come in and the color guard, and once they get done, we're going to bring the Indian drummers out. They're going to play some nice music for us. After that, maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it depends. We're on Indian sovereign land, so it doesn't really matter about time or anything. The cops cannot come on the land unless they're pursuing us off the highway. Once you're on the highway, they're not allowed on the property at all.
They have, like, tribal police, though. They do here. They have in Connecticut, the tribal police. They can go on Indian territory and arrest people and bust balls.
Yeah, only if you're doing something wrong. But once you're on the property, the local CHP, the sheriff's department, they can look for the main highway and take pictures.
I know that because I was coming from the casino. I was leaving the casino, Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut, which is Indian land, basically. And the tribal police stopped me for going to a stop sign. And the cop pulled me over, and he said, you know, that's a $500 fine. He says, you know what? if you write me a ticket for $500, I'm not coming back here to gamble. And then I'm going to go to your chief, and I'm going to tell him that you wrote me a $500 ticket, and I am no longer going to Foxwoods, where they can make thousands and thousands of dollars off of me. He kind of put his tail between his legs and walked away and let me go. The tribal police to me are a joke. They're like campus police, you know.
I know we got tribal police out there. All the years I've been out there, they stand so far in the background, we don't care about them. But I'm pointing this out to you because I wish you were here Saturday night after the dedication to the military and all that. We're going to have another, you know, wet T-shirt contest. But because this is an Indian sovereign land,
it's more than a wet T-shirt.
This is not politically correct at all. This is right up your alley. We're talking total nudity with accessories, accoutrements. You will not find any lousy little wet T-shirt. This is a throwback to the old days. It's one of the few times I go to a wet T-shirt contest where it all hangs out. It's absolutely wild. Everywhere else I go, it's just a wet T-shirt contest. This is one of the few remaining events I go to in America. Now, I go to events in Mexico, and it's totally crazy. But this one here comes this weekend. This is old school all the way, Pete. Old school. Let it all hang out. But I wish you were here this weekend with us.
Yeah, I wish I was too. Unfortunately, I can't leave the state right now. I can't even go into Connecticut or Rhode Island or New Hampshire. You know, they'll violate me. I'm on probation, and, you know, it's stupid. But, you know, that's what appeals are for. I got my appeal. I got my transcripts from my trial. It was 75 pages long. And the cops, oh, geez, I wish you guys could read it. It's a joke because the cops, we'll have to save it for another show. I'll read some of it. The state police keep saying the same things over and over again. They keep accusing me of the same things. It's 75 pages long, the transcripts from my trial. What a joke. You know, the cops are talking like they're 2 years old. Well, he did this. Wait a minute, he didn't do that, but we saw this, or maybe we didn't see it. And it was stupid. I couldn't believe how thick the packet was on a bogus arrest. So, whatever. The battle goes on against the Mass State Police. So.
Well, you know, we got our own battle out here going on with the court system, Pete.
No,
and,
I know.
We got some good information here today that I wanted to share. It's on a YouTube, and once I pull it up, I'll load up the site for people to go look at. But this one is by this guy. His name is Mark Stevens, and I'll let him explain what he's going to talk about. Man, this thing is slow today, Bill. There we go. This is beating civil traffic tickets, part one, standing. This is where he tells you about how you're standing on how you're going to appear in court.
All right, let's hear what this guy's got to say.
Are we recording?
No. He was author of Adventures in Legaland and host of the No State Project, the only show on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. You can hear that every Saturday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time and 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on We the People Radio Network. That's WTPRN.com. And that's WTPRN.com. What I want to talk about today, civil traffic tickets, beating civil traffic tickets, getting them kicked out. The thing I want to point out, though, is all traffic courts, it doesn't matter who or what, you know, who's running them, they're all scammed. It's nothing to do about protection. It's nothing to do about justice. It's about separating you from your money. That's all they're there to do. And you'll find that out if you're unfortunate enough to have to go there. See, most people, their interaction with government is through traffic tickets. We all know somebody who's got a traffic ticket. Nobody wants to get it. And what they do is they set the fine low enough so that you'll just pay it. They go, oh, this isn't worth my time. I'm not going to take time off from work. It's only a couple $100. I'll just pay it. That's a mind game. They're doing this on purpose. It's part of the whole advertising and public relations of these common called traffic courts. They want you to just pay it because if more people fought it, the whole system would collapse. Either that or before it collapsed, what they would do is they would keep lowering the fines. And they would keep lowering the fines until they got that happy medium to where people would just pay it, which is, of course, what they want. I mean, why go through the whole charade of a trial if you could just have people send the money in? I wouldn't just pay it because as I'm going to go through here, and it's not some conspiracy theory crap, okay, then you can verify all this. You'll see that no traffic ticket has any validity whatsoever. They're all they're just part of a scam. So it doesn't matter what they're actually accusing me of, the ticket has no validity whatsoever, even under their little codes. So what I talk about a lot is usual standing, because, and this is just one of many ways of showing a traffic ticket has no validity, but it's a big one. It's a very important one. If I can show that the ticket, that the plaintiff has no standing to complain against me, well, then the court has no subject matter jurisdiction, and the case has to be thrown out. It doesn't matter what I'm being actually accused of if they can't show standing. So this is why I press this issue so much. It's a very big issue. Again, it's only one of many issues to show that traffic tickets are just part of a larger scam, that they have no validity whatsoever. So one of the things I want to point out, if you learned anything from the video, is that a ticket, let's say a ticket, is not synonymous with a complaint, with a cause of action.
When the voice goes down,
it's
sending a message across the screen.
Exactly the same thing.
From China.
Then they've already won. They've got you here. Because, well, you know, most people just assume, well, there's a valid course of action here. I'll just put it. Well, it's not worth my time. I pay it. But, boy, you open up a whole can of worms now when you start questioning whether the complaint presents a valid cause of action. And the cause of action is a very specific thing legally. Like, any attorney will tell you that. They don't want you to discuss that. The one thing that judges and prosecutors and especially the police, they don't want you talking about cause of action or standing. And they'll even let you think that doesn't even apply. We'll show you that it does. So before we get into the issue of standing, to determine how somebody gets standing in an American court, you have to know what the court is for. I mean, why do we have courts? Why do we have government? Now, I know this is all public relations, but this just goes to show that the ticket has no validity, even under their little code. To find the purpose of government in the Declaration of Independence in most state constitutions, in Arizona, for example, it's Article 2, Section 2, and it states that governments are established to protect and maintain individual rights. Stop laughing. It says that governments are established to protect and maintain individual rights. So this is why we have the government. Now, we know courts are part of the government. So the purpose of the court is to protect and maintain individual rights, of course. So what is the court's jurisdiction? Well, the court's jurisdiction is limited, of course, to its purpose. The purpose is to protect and maintain individual rights. So the jurisdiction of any court is going to be limited to the protection and maintenance of individual rights. That's basic common sense. So then for a plaintiff to have standing in that same court, in an American court, the plaintiff has to allege the violation of a legal right, because the court's jurisdiction is based on protecting and maintaining individual rights. So to have standing, they have to allege that. And you go into any number of court cases, they're consistent, believe it or not, with this. Because they don't like to hear this in the traffic court. Waynes v. Byrd, standing is a necessary component of subject matter jurisdiction. Well, you have to have subject matter jurisdiction even in a traffic case. It states that standing is perhaps the most important of the jurisdictional doctrines. Standing represents a jurisdictional requirement which remains open to review at all stages of litigation. And then Supreme Court of the United States, again, Allen v. Wright, this is where you get into the elements of standing. The requirement of standing, however, has a core component derived directly from the Constitution. A plaintiff must allege personal injury fairly traceable to the defendant's allegedly unlawful conduct and likely to be redressed by the request of relief. So you have to have the injury, which is the invasion of legal right. So we know that they're claiming that it's a civil traffic ticket. Let's say I didn't have a seatbelt on and they file a civil action against me. Well, do they allege the violation of the legal right? Is there any injury? Say that it says, again, they must allege personal injury. Well, was the police officer alleging personal injury? Does the prosecutor allege personal injury of the so-called plaintiff? No. So now if the courts, now this is subject matter jurisdiction, so for a plaintiff to have standing, they have to allege the violation of a legal right. Once they do that, then the court can have subject matter jurisdiction. But here we see there is no violation of a legal right, so there couldn't be any subject matter jurisdiction because the court is limited, and the purpose of the court is to what? That's right. To protect and maintain individual rights. So you see right off the bat, no driver's license or no seatbelt or even speeding, not that I'm advocating. see that people traveling in, you know, at a speed that's not reasonable, prudent, but 5, 10, 12 miles an hour over the speed limit probably isn't, you know, really endangering anybody. So you see that there's no validity whatsoever to any of those tickets. And that's on just this one issue alone. And if you think that this isn't a serious issue, that the government attorneys don't take this seriously, you can just look at a recent case where the NSA was sued by, I believe it was the ACLU, and that was the main issue that they raised, that they hadn't shown standing. They couldn't show a personal injury. Well, that applied, standing applies across the board, even in civil traffic cases, because we know that the government was established to what? Protect and maintain individual rights. So that's what the jurisdiction is limited to. So there is a very, it's been a very effective way, and it shows you that no traffic ticket has any validity whatsoever. So in the next video, what we'll discuss is how to impeach a witness, which is typically in a traffic case, you only have one witness, it's the police officer. And it can go through how you can impeach him by asking only two questions. Some cases, you ask him even one question, and the judge would be more than happy to say he's incompetent to testify. But that's in the next video. Until then, I'm Mark Stevens. Go to my website. It's adventuresinlegalland.com.
Well, the man knows what he's talking about, it's obviously, but I'm not sure I got... I'm not sure, man, if there was a second video. I don't think I got it all.
Okay.
maybe we can second two another time with that.
Yeah, before we do that, Bill.
I'm not really...
We have a new guest.
Okay. Well, we have a new guest
and a new listener.
Okay, for a bigger gentleman in here, or the lady, maybe we got next.
No, he's not on the phone, Bill. They're listening.
Okay, then. Tell me what you thought about this man talking.
Hey, he's
You're
right.
In court all the frickin' time, so you know more than I
He's right. That's what I do. I challenge everything. We sat in a room, for 2.5 hours with two clowns from the city, and we backed them off.
So this would be kind of interesting. If you want to get some more information on that, again, information, knowledge is power. Okay, brother, tell me who we got that tuned in to listen to us.
They're listening in the San Fernando Valley, Bill, at 330 North McClay Avenue in Suite 100. It's Melanie, I guess. Like I said earlier, she's getting her hair done for the music festival.
Yeah.
So that's where she's at. So what I was thinking we'd do before...
What's the name of the hairdressing salon? Do we know?
No, I didn't get it because it only came halfway through. So
okay,
what I want to do here...
Melanie wants to check in later. Let's give the hair salon a plug, okay?
Well,
Melanie,
what we're going to do,
want...
Bill, okay. Here we're going to do one better. We're going to dial them up.
There we go.
Well, we can't dial them up, Bill. They're
not answering the damn thing.
They're not answering the phone.
Hello, hair salon. Can I help you?
Hi, is this Tomas?
Yes.
Hey, you're on the air with us right now. We thought we'd call and say hello.
Are you doing our friend Melanie's hair at this time, sir?
Yes, this is Hans.
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 Oh, okay.
Okay.
Can you put Tomas on the phone for a second? He's doing our friend Melanie's hair. You're on the air live.
Would you like a manicure?
No, we wouldn't like a manicure. We'd like to talk to
Tomas. Just me. I'm messing with you guys.
Oh, okay.
You didn't know that?
Was that you, Pete?
That's me messing around. I'm sorry. I'm loopy tonight. I had you guys fooled, though, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
You sound a little light in your loafers, brother, but I'm not going to make any comment, you know?
It's Hans. Would you like a manicure? Anyway.
Hey, Scrooge, I was getting excited. For a second.
Well, no, Bill, I guess they're listening.
Yeah.
And we're trying to call them, so I'll send them a message.
Let's get Melanie and Tomas if they want to call us up for a second or text us, whatever, and we'll give the hair salon a free plug, all right?
That's correct. So, Pete, what did you think about what that guy said? We're going to go back to part two in a little minute.
Oh, I can tell you that, he's right because, a lot of people – get tickets and they're like, I'll just pay it. I don't want to go to a hearing. And they're making billions of dollars off of people like that. You need to stand up and fight it like Phil does and goes to court. I'm in court all the time, too. I get ticketed all the time, you know, and I usually win. But too many people give in and they're like, I don't want to go take the day off from work. It's a principle of the thing. Fight the damn ticket. You don't pay the $100 and your insurance goes up. You know, it's on your record. I fight every ticket I get, even if I'm guilty. So, you know, fight those tickets. Don't give in to the cops. Even my doctor got a ticket. He got a speeding ticket. He was going to a dying patient, and he was doing like 38 in the 30 zone, and a town cop pulled him over, and he told him, "I'm a doctor, and I'm going to a dying patient, you know, da-da-da-da," and the cops still gave him a ticket, $100, whatever it was, and he asked me, he said, "What do you think I should do?" I said, "Well, me being, you know, a person that gets ticketed quite often," I told him, "you go to court, you appeal it, and you go in and you tell them the truth. You're a doctor, you're going to a dying patient, and you'll win, guaranteed." And he did, and he won. They want you to pay the money and not come to a hearing, you know. In Massachusetts, they passed the thing that if you get a ticket and you want to appeal it, you have to go to court, you get a court date, you have to pay $25 to the clerk's office for the hearing. If they find you guilty of the ticket, and you want to appeal that, you pay another $50. So now you've paid $75 for a ticket that, you know, is $100 or $50, whatever it is, and if you lose that appeal, you've just, not only have you spent $75 to appeal a damn thing, but you got to pay the ticket itself, and then your insurance goes up. So stand your ground with tickets. If you've done something wrong, that's one thing, but still go in and tell the, you know, I'm not innocent of every ticket I've gotten. Some of them I have been. But I go in and I tell the truth. Yes, I was speeding, you know. I didn't realize it. I'm sorry. Yes, this, yes, that. And most of the time they say, okay, you know, have a good day. And they find me not responsible. So to your listeners out there, and I know you have a lot of them, take it from me. I get harassed by the police all the time, usually the state police. They ticket me all the time. And every ticket I get, I fight it, even if I'm wrong. And I go in and I give them my best shot and I tell them the truth. And they usually let me go. I'm not saying that's going to happen for everybody, but if you go in and just tell the truth and make a point, say, hey, you know, I wasn't doing it or I was doing it, then most likely you'll be all right. But don't pay it. Appeal it. I know the law.
Pete, one of my partners in San Diego, one of my very tight partners is Club People. He's a genius when it comes to tickets. He gets speeding tickets all the time, and what he has to do is he has to postpone them, he postpones them until he finally gets it to where he can plead guilty or go to court if I was going to do. But he has to stretch his tickets out because he gets so freaking mad they're going to take his license away. But he is so good at it. Again, he's got the schedule, the calendars. He's probably this year working on last year's tickets. And
yeah.
I'm telling you, every time he goes down the street, they target him. Club person, long hair down on his back, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Of course.
But he's taking it. I realize I want to... my license, this is the only way I can. You have to fight the system from within the system.
Right. That's right. So, you know, the guy, I was listening to the recording that you played, the guy at one point, he mentioned, you know, people just want to just pay it and get it off their, you know, get it out of their hair, basically. Pay it, you know, get it over with. They don't realize, especially in this state, Massachusetts, that your insurance goes up. Now there's the menace law, okay? So anybody listening to this that lives in Massachusetts, especially Boston, wherever, you might want to think twice about not appealing it when you get a ticket. Because if you get a ticket now in Massachusetts, they're tracking us here. And if you get enough of them, they put you under the menace law. They find you a menace on the road, and they revoke your license for good. So
out here they call it an habitual offender.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. So,
Screwdriver and I were coming home for a party up in Long Beach, the Queen Mary, big party. We stopped at this local biker bar in San Juan Capistrano, Swallows Inn. I look in the light, and Pete Phillips sitting at a red light.
They're calling somebody.
Somebody come in or keep talking?
No, go ahead.
All right. He's sitting at a red light.
Yeah.
I said, "What'd you say?" Oh, he says, "'Cause you ran the red light." I said, "I didn't run no damn red light." He goes, "Oh, yeah, you did. We had those cameras."
Thank you for calling Slusdiggy Hair Studio. We are currently on the line assisting other clients. Please leave a message and we'll return your call as promptly as possible. Thank you.
Okay, what I was saying was now, I left L.A. County and I went down to Orange County. The next county is my home, San Diego County. As soon as I got the ticket, L.A. County declared all red light cameras illegal. But I was in the wrong county. I'm still waiting for a ticket to come in, so we'll deal with that when it comes in. But what bad luck do I have? get a red light ticket coming, and then the very next day they said all red light tickets illegal in the county of, in the city of Los Angeles. Unfortunately, I was in the next county down. I was in Orange County. Bad karma.
Hey, Phil, you're not, Bill's not leaving us on somebody's answering machine, is he? Did you hang
up?
No,
we're on hold.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're on hold. All right. I thought it was went to an answering machine. Hey, that did sound like me, though, didn't it? Did the recording?
Yeah, yeah.
Hans? That did sound like me. I do pretty good impressions, I guess. But you guys live in California, so you're used to it. There's a lot of Hanses in California.
I don't know. I don't know anybody named Hans.
That are hairdressers.
I mentioned we're in San Diego. We're not in L.A.
Well,
we're not in Beverly Hills. We don't have those people around us.
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, that was my first motorcycle. I had a K-Model Sportster in the late 60s. And I went to get out of high school. I worked very hard my sophomore and junior summer to collect money. In my senior year, I built a Sportster K-Model Flathead. I went to San Francisco to find them hippies. Guy Sonny Baga. And man, for an 18-year-old, go free love, meeting Sonny and the rest of the red and white boys. It's only 500 miles, Pete, because my bike was
studio.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello. Is Tomas available?
Yeah, this is he. Hello? Hello?
Station, we're calling you. Can you turn down the sound in the background, though, because we can still hear the phone ringing?
Yes, yes. Yeah, hello?
Yeah, so we understand Melanie's getting her hair done. How are you doing it?
Yes, we're just doing a color touch-up right here.
Can you tell us the name of the studio, where you're located and all that? Because we got the address, but we didn't get the name of your place, please.
Yeah, we're
going to give us the information.
We're going to give you a free plug. You're
free plug on the air.
Oh,
you're
thank you. We're
in 38 countries right now.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. It's Swastiki Hair Studio, and the address is 330 North McClay in the city of San Fernando, 91340, the state of California. Mm-hmm.
Now, is this a salon for men and women or just the women only?
It's for both, men and women.
Okay.
What, you think about getting your hair done?
I want the listeners to know if they're in the area, they want to stop by.
Wait, you need a little color touch up there, buddy?
No, I've got, there's no color left. I think my color is devoid of color. I have no color. But Bug and friends of ours are in the area. Melanie recommends it, that we want our friends to know about these people.
That's correct.
Thank you so much.
So are you guys open now 7 days a week, or what's your time and all that?
We're usually open Monday to Saturday. From Monday to Friday, it's from 10 in the morning till 7, and on Saturdays from 9 to 6. And we do everything. We do highlights, haircuts, extensions, everything. Yes.
I'm getting kind of bald. Maybe those extensions might help me. So the type of work that Melanie's doing now, what are you going to charge her? What's the normal rate for what you're doing to Melanie?
Well, we're actually very affordable for what we're doing to Melanie. It's just a color touch-up, and it's $50 for her color touch-up. She comes in like every 4 to 5 weeks, and we're a pretty affordable salon. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about that because we have a good friend in Massachusetts, Pete. I think he needs to get his hair cut. Like to send him out just.
Oh, I need some help though.
Oh, okay.
Well, my problem is
maybe
when
Tomas opens a salon out there in Massachusetts, Pete, you get your hair done out there. By the way, Tomas, you're talking to a friend of ours from Massachusetts. He's on the air live too right now. Pete, say hello to Tomas.
Thank you.
California is where it's at. But unfortunately,
only in California if you talk to live people on the air this time of night and all that.
You know, I can't.
How's Melanie doing? Is she wrapping up with the price? Is she almost done with the haircut, or I mean, coloring? Excuse me.
Yeah, she's actually under the dryer right now. They're about to rinse her off right now. Did you want to talk to her?
Oh, real quick second, if we could, please.
Okay, just for 1 second, because they're rinsing her hair. Okay, 1 second.
Sure.
You guys, I'm laughing. You guys are funny tonight.
Pete, I'm trying to get you a deal on a haircut. For Christ's sakes, work with me.
Bro, that's 2,000 miles from me. I can't even leave.
Hello?
Hi,
yes.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
You're live on the air. Want to know how you're doing and how's your hair being styled?
Yes, it is. It's very wet. Getting ready to dry.
We won't keep you on long. We just wanted to give you a shout-out and say hello.
Hello. Thank you. I'm rocking out over here with ice-cold water and cool music.
All right, we want to thank Tomas, too. We got the name of the studio and all that. We hope everybody in that area stops by and get their hair.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Melanie, one more time, tell us the name of the place you're at, please.
Sestagua's Hair Studio, and Tomas with the magic hands does my hair. He's great. What he charges here, you can get your hair done in Beverly Hills for $600 for the same thing you can have done here by an awesome studio.
Nearby. We left already? You left us, Melanie?
We lost him.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask him, maybe you could do an on-site report, ride your bike up and check it out.
No, I don't think so. I'd have to plan on that one, and then I go in, they might want to highlight my hair or something, you know. I got that little gray thing running down the middle.
Hey, Bill, you need some highlights.
I don't have enough hair in my head to have any highlights. They're
right.
All going down my back. What's
I'll
left?
Give you some of mine.
Right now, we got a good friend of my blog and on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Mama Jill's calling in. Sherry Hosey's calling from Dresden. We got Tomas and the gang up in L.A. or San Fernando.
San Fernando.
We got Pete calling in from Boston.
And I don't know Mama Jill, do I?
No, you don't, Bill, but maybe we can get her to call in. She gives us some updates on, since she's listening, she gives some updates on her neck of the woods.
Where's Mama Jill from?
You know, off the top of my head, I don't remember, Bill.
All right.
I don't want to say the wrong place.
Mama Jill, why don't you call in real quick? Just say hello to us. Tell us what part of the country you're from. Screwdriver and I are very nice people. We were easy to get along with.
Yeah, because we got Pete on the line. Pete, I'm gonna play that other. That second part to that, and then unless we get a caller in between, if we get a caller in between, then we'll go from there.
Cool.
I'm bouncing back and forth for a few things here.
All right,
tell Pete
that,
there was a show out sometime.
I'm going to get my hair highlighted. Will you guys?
No, well, I'm going to send them out to you. Maybe
no,
you'll need a place to stay at your house. Would that be okay?
No, please don't. Please don't, Bill. I'm all set with Tomas. He seems like a nice guy, though.
You know, I was going to say there was that movie with about the Marine Corps in Cuba. Was that well?
A few
Good Men. Remember that, Pete?
Spartacus?
A Few Good Men, the movie with Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
When there was a scene in there that really just hit me really hard was when he went in there and he looked around, he said, "So, this is what a courtroom looks like. When I realized for the first time that I'm not afraid of a courtroom, what a change I had. I'm always apprehensive going in because I don't know I'm going to win or lose. But I stopped being afraid a long time ago, and when I lost that fear of the courtrooms, I still have the respect because I don't know which way it's going to happen. It just made me feel like, hey, they have no more power than me than the dog catcher or the SDG&E guy. It's just another branch, another operation."
Yeah, I knew all these years all these years of listening to me, you'd figure it out.
You just better let me do most of the talking, mister. You're the one that gets us in most of the damn trouble all the time.
We also got the message, Bill. She's getting rinsed.
Oh.
Sorry they were cut off. Well,
biker, that was my question there.
We also have biker friendly and plenty of bike parking.
All right.
Nice show.
That's a biker-friendly salon, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
We're going to have to make a note of that. And one of our trips up there, maybe we can stop in and just say hello to Tomas. He seemed like a very nice guy to come on and talk to us on the air because, you know, we're not wrapped tight.
Have him on again.
Yeah, we should have him come on again sometime. We'll have to ask Melanie when she gets down with the hair whether or not she approves it or not.
Sure. So what we'll do, Bill, is...
Let's get to part two, huh?
Yeah.
All
right. Hold on.
All right, I'm right here. I'm going nowhere.
The caller from 586.
Yeah, we should have come on again sometime.
Caller
hey.
From 586.
Hey,
yeah.
Come on and talk to us.
Can you turn down the sound in the background, please?
Okay, that's you. I can't believe I'm connected. This is Mama Jill out of Detroit, Michigan.
How are you?
This is the Phil and Bill show. I'm Bill Kennedy with Screwdriver. How you doing?
Yeah, Screwdriver, you know me.
Yes. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good.
I'm doing great.
I just got back from California.
I went out
to visit Shirley, and I went out to visit Oakland in 81, you know, and I don't even realize, I still have the jet lag going on, and I can't believe that I'm hooked up. I just hooked up my thing, my computer, and here I am. And so you guys are talking about to a beauty salon or what?
Yeah, what it was that's a friend of ours who sent a message that she was going to get her hair done. So we just thought we'd give the guy where she's getting her hair done a plug.
Well, good.
Yeah, we go. From,
unfortunately, I'm right out of Detroit, and I don't think I can give anybody a plug. But anyway, I love your show.
Were you in Southern California, or did you stay up north when you were here last time?
Well, I was born and raised in San Francisco, and I came out here to Detroit in the 80s. And I still have all my family out in Oakland and San Francisco.
You're still in Frisco in the late 70s or late 60s, correct?
No, I'm 66, so I go back to the early 60s.
You know, I want to tell you something really quick, and maybe you can agree or disagree with me, because I'm 63, and I rode the bike clubs for 45 years. I got drafted in the military in 69. In the late 60s, up until 69 when I got drafted, I could travel all over California. Nobody gave a damn what I was doing. Nobody wanted to know was I selling drugs or guns or anything in the neighborhood. In the 60s, everybody was just happy to see a biker.
And it was love. It was all love back then. I mean, I was there. I was there with the beatnik before the hippie thing came in. And it was nothing but love and being together, except for these people that were protesting and against Vietnam. You know what I mean? There was a little drift going on there, a thing. But those were the good days.
I said I was only 18 years old when I got my K model motorcycle. It took me 2 years to get it squared away. Finished high school, and I went to, I want to go up there and see them hippies. I want to find this Sonny Baga. One of the interesting people
Sonny
I met up there was the East Bay Dragons. Did you ever run across them?
No, actually, because I'm a California girl. When I came up, it was the Gypsy Jokers, the Hells
Angels, still there.
And the Henchmen.
Right.
And a couple other clubs that I actually, Saint and something, you know, that I can't really remember. It's been so many years. And so I did a, when I got the computer, I was able to reconnect. And most of the folks that I knew are gone. And I had an awesome visit with Shirley Barger Rogers, Sonny's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a 81 supporter, totally. And I don't know. I'm sitting here having a glass of wine, by the way, so I'm on the radio, obviously.
And a glass of wine. You'll be fine pretty quick, girl.
Well, and you know what? 66 and staying up all night one day, try that. At my age, it takes like a week to get over it.
I take a lot of naps lately. I don't know what the hell that's all about. I never took naps before, but...
Well, you know what? Me neither.
I'm leaving a 2,000-mile trip on my bike, and all my friends are begging me, well, how are you going to keep going when you need to take naps? I don't know. I'll just take a nap wherever the hell I want
to
take a nap.
Did you go to Sturgis?
I did not. My wife's health is very bad. She has MS and diabetes. We've been at the hospital several times this past week. However, we're going to leave in the... next month, We're going to do a 2,000-mile trip to, to the Grand Canyon Caverns. I'll go over to Nevada. I'll go into Lake Mead. Then I'll go into Las Vegas, the back door for the big Las Vegas Bike Week.
Wow.
We'll see some of our...
I used to live in Vegas. I mean, I know about Vegas, but you know what? California is very congested. When I got back here to Michigan, it seemed like I was back in the country.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, I just stopped in. How I got online to talk to you guys, I don't know. But it's pretty awesome. I like your show.
Thank you.
I don't ride. I'm too old. I do have a horse. I'm kind of like Sonny. The horses are my thing now instead of the iron horse. But anyway.
You know, Sonny and I, we did a movie premiere last month, a movie called I Ride. He came over from Arizona for the premiere. It was good to talk to him a little bit.
Oh, really? Is he, like,
yeah,
riding his horses and his, him and Z? Are they doing the horse thing or iron horse?
No, it was about a movie called I Ride. It was about the Fried Brothers band. And Ralph came in to talk a little bit about, he's part of the movie, talks about what rock and roll people they are. Then he came out for the premiere, so we got to sit and talk a little bit. Because I live in San Diego, and we see each other fewer and fewer times every year,
right.
I guess, you know?
Oh, yeah, I have their CDs. I love them, the Fried Brothers. They've been around for, well, they've been around a long time.
Right,
but anyway, long time, and I'm glad. I love their movie.
Movie's called I Ride, all about the Fried Brothers. So we get a chance, hope you can pick it up and see that.
Well, you can see it on.
I've seen it. I remember when they put it out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they got Willie Nelson in it, and that
Pat Simmons, the brothers in it, and Sonny's
right.
Did an article. I mean, a little speaking thing in it. Yeah.
Yeah,
we had the first
really
premiere last month, and that was kind of nice. About 500 people came up for it, and we must have special VIP because we had policemen driving up and down the street and police helicopters overhead. We must all be special people.
Exactly. You know, for all the attention. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're so busy worrying about a motorcycle club. This isn't a gang. You know,
no.
I don't even want to go there. But anyway, you know, they need to concentrate on these people that are killing their kids and doing other things in society that is totally unacceptable. But when you choose a certain lifestyle, for God's sakes, this is why our forefathers and our sons and everybody is fighting now for the freedom to choose which lifestyle you want to live.
Yeah.
And I feel very strong about that. But I don't know how to cut you loose here because I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. I got on here, and it's very exciting. But I don't ride anymore. I used to ride behind my old man, and that's how we did it.
Excuse me, you're an American citizen, right? This is America. This is an American radio.
Indeed.
We want to talk to Americans in all forms of life. So whatever you're saying, people listening. And by the way, Screwdriver, how many countries they listen to right now?
38.
38 countries are listening to you. And you have assorted red and white members and associate members from England and all parts of the world listen to what you have to say.
England,
so,
Australia, Spain, Brazil, all over.
That is very cool because you know what? People really don't understand. There's just so many people that are, I don't know what to say because I'm a little upset about what happened last weekend.
What we can tell you, is if you're upset, you're on the last bastion of freedom. If you want to sound off and you want to swear, well, however you want to put it out there, the mic is yours.
Right now, I have to tell you, there is, to our knowledge, only 4 stations like us, and we are an investigation by Congress. They want to make us have licensing. They want us to pay money. They want to control us. But this is Americans talking to people around the world, and
freedom of speech.
That's what we're saying. Right now, you have it. There's only four of us in America studios doing something like this. Nobody's controlling
freedom
you.
Of speech. And I
That's
actually
right.
believe that what went down last week was very, very uncalled for on the black and white side of things. Mm-hmm. And I really think that they need to get a life and just let things be. Because red and white, you know, I was reading, I went on YouTube, I saw all these YouTube videos, and it really upset me. And I'm a older woman that has a son. I've been out of the life for a long time. The computer allowed me to go full circle back when I was a young lady, you know, a kid, 17 and that. And I loved it. It was freedom and the whole shebang. But I was totally upset about the way the Rubs and everybody else feels about 81. They don't have a clue about this life.
The only thing
you know,
we can hope, you and I can neither hope for, that there are powers to be in the red and white and black and white that can sit down and try to bring
make
the truth
amends.
Back.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they've done it before, but the red and white have always been stand up like that. You know, I'm sorry to say this, and this isn't a political thing, and maybe I'm talking too much, and maybe I should get another glass of Chardonnay. I wish I was there with you guys. But
okay, right now it's puff, puff, pass.
Okay. Ciao. I enjoy talking with you very much.
Well, anytime you want to call and talk about anything that's concerns you as an American.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. I don't know what is acceptable to talk to. All I know is that, you know, you should have the right to be free and live your life the way you choose to live it. Nobody should be able to dictate if you choose to be riding a motorcycle in whatever style. And everybody seems to forget the good things that these people do. The benefits and the things that they do to help society and everything else. People just have the wrong total idea, and the Mongols just really put that in a different light by the way they disrespected, you know what I mean? Maybe I'm speaking out of turn now, because this is a brotherhood club, not a ladies
club. You're an American speaking as an American. Stop saying you're speaking out of turn. Whatever you want to say, say it. Don't be apologetic for anything in there at all.
No, because this is it. I so truly believe in this club. I grew up with this club. I know this club. These people are great people, and they do no harm. And for these other folks to come in and perpetrate, you know, behind their clubhouse at this restaurant adjacent, I thought was bogus. Anyway,
hoping for, again, is that at some point in time, the powers to be on both sides can sit down and say, listen, we got to rectify this. We got to get ourselves back on track, because as long as we, the motorcycle community, keep attacking each other, the cops are sitting back just laughing at us.
Exactly.
We're making it easy for everybody.
But both
sides have got very intelligent men, and I'm sure that they will sit down
and
at some
working
point.
Men. Working men with legitimate jobs, for God's sakes. These aren't, it's not like it used to be way back when or whatever they tried to say it was.
Bill.
It's a totally different lifestyle. But anyway, listen, I'm
hello?
I can't believe I'm Phil. Phil.
Hang on one second. We got a call that wants to ask you a question. Hang on. Is that you, Pete?
Oh, I just thought I lost you for a minute there.
No, we're just wrapping up a statement here. Okay.
No, I'm listening. I just thought the phone was messed up or I was on mute. All right, no, it's all good. I'm sorry. Go ahead. As
probably
you
the FBI. Go ahead, dear. Wrap up what you were saying.
Wait a minute. Who?
You're laughing, but they're listening.
Look outside your window.
Wait,
is there a van out?
You know what?
I'm in a nice neighborhood. I don't think so. If I was at my house, it would be a van out front.
Well, can I tell you something? I'm not afraid of
go ahead, please.
I'm not afraid of the FBI. I pay taxes.
Louder.
Say that
a little louder.
Say that a little louder.
I pay taxes. I'm a working woman.
No, before that, about the FBI.
I'm not afraid of the FBI.
Okay.
I've already been through the little thing. You know, I know how they roll.
Right.
Totally.
This is one of the few shows. Actually, if you actually slipped, obviously you choose not to use a lot of inappropriate language, but the government can't control the language you use in this show either. If
well,
you
know
slip,
what? How I feel, because I know about the mafia and I know about the biker lifestyle, and I'm going to tell you, fuck the FBI. They're jealous, all these people that, you know, it's, we don't do anything wrong. I'm a supporter. I was lucky enough to get a computer and get in touch with people that I love. Good
right.
people that are living a lifestyle that they choose to live and be free. Now, what's wrong with that?
Not at all. Not at all. And that's why,
you know,
I'm saying
the
that
FBI
we need
wanna
to
come.
Be...
We need to have people like her call in more often. She's great.
Yeah,
I like
let
the
me
lady,
tell you
yeah.
something.
Especially
if the
coming
FBI,
from a...
If the
keep
FBI
going to ask her a question. Go ahead.
If the FBI comes knocking on my door, guess what? I got something for them. We have no credit debt. We pay our bills. We're good citizens. My husband's a blue-collar worker, just like everybody else, just like the guys that ride. But they wear a certain, you know what I mean, a patch. And they
every
have
day.
To be there. And, you know, and it's a stigma, and it's just bullshit. And, you know, that's how I feel. You know, I was very upset watching YouTube and watching these videos of what happened last weekend. And, by the way, I was out there in California last weekend, and I happened to call one of the Oakland members and why this was going on, and he was in Sturgis. And,
yeah.
And it was just totally ridiculous, totally off the hook, and totally uncalled for on the other side. And, yes, they do need to sit down and negotiate and form some kind of a peace treaty like they've done with other clubs.
Exactly.
You know, this
we
is
cannot
a new
afford
day.
To have another single member in jail for me to decide. Screwdriver and I are not representing any one organization, but the idea of this continuing war, which has been going on for so many years, and members going to jail. What good is a member in jail? Nothing. He's not an asset to the club at all. He's a liability because he's gone. We need to keep the strong people out there. That's why I say, and I'm sure, again, I'm not speaking for the club, but I'm sure there are powers to be, intellectual men on both sides can sit down and say, we need to get this resolved, and there may be some form of retribution. I don't know. That's not my business at all, but let's hope whatever has to be done can be done so we can all get back to riding our motorcycles.
Yeah, maybe they can one day break bread together, for Christ's sake, if they can get it straightened out. And then maybe again, they'll never break bread. But you know what? You got your space. I got my space. So don't come in my space. Respect it. And I'm going to do the same for you.
Exactly.
It's real simple. You know what I mean? It's back to the golden rule.
That's right.
That we learned when we were kids. I'm very passionate about this. And I'm glad that I called in, I guess. You guys think of, Phil, you know I know you. I mean, I don't know you, but we've. And Hermes, you too. Wait, no, this isn't Hermes.
No.
Okay, have another glass of wine. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I think it's
Hermes.
You know why I think it's Hermes? Because I'm from Massachusetts, and him and I have the same accent. That's what it is.
Oh, well, I was born and raised in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, Hermes and I are both
country.
From Massachusetts, so we kind of have that Boston accent, so people confuse
us
on the radio.
Do you think I have a Boston? Do I have a Boston accent?
No, I do.
Oh,
I do,
okay.
And Hermes does.
Yeah, that's what kind of threw me
a little bit. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And
but
I know Shirley,
know,
too. She's a nice lady, by the way.
She is the most kindest, giving, wonderful, and her husband, Bud, they're awesome folks. And I'll tell you something else. Everybody is stand up. Well, I ain't going to say everybody. I'm not going to talk shit because everybody isn't stand up. But if the world's listening to me right now on the radio, I want to tell you that I think that everybody needs to keep it real, keep the bullshit out, and support, and do whatever you can to keep this show going. And that's really all I can say, and I hope everything works out, and I hope that we don't lose any more people to the joint, and that we help bring these men home, and I could go on and on. But I'm going to sign off.
Well, you know, we have a guy that, a friend of ours, well, a friend of mine, Bill's met him, hasn't met him yet, out of San Fernando Valley. His name is Mike P. I don't know if you've heard any of his music, but I'd like you guys to just hang out for a second. We're going to take a break, and I'll play one of his songs, and then we'll be right back. And then I'd like to get your opinion on this song, Jill. So if you can hold on and listen to this song, I appreciate it.
Jill, it's the new wave. It's the young kids on the block doing stuff. It's maybe not
that's
for
all right.
School,
I love
but,
all music.
I like the guy, so let's kick it out there. All right.
This one is called, it's by Mike P, the Big Homie, and it's called One Percenter.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's that hardcore Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent freedom. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I had a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. The cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's the American dream for us to live free. But when the bills think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't play me, dick.
And that was Mike P, the big homie. That was one percenter, Bill.
And he's out of San Fernando Valley. All the buses he's trying to be is, hey, man, you know, let's just ride our bikes. Just leave us alone.
Off the hook. Nice Thank song.
You. Off the
you
hook.
Know,
off the hook.
The chain.
Sweet. Off the chain. It's Dougalicious.
Off the hook. I like that.
Yeah, it's off the hook. It's
like
off
that.
The hook. It's he's sending a message. And you know,
if you go on my
yeah.
if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see and just type in Mike P the Big Homie, you can watch all his videos. He's got quite a few.
Cool.
He just came out with a new one Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out because I got Verdot, I listen to him. But listen, I got to get off. My husband's in sleeping, and he's just hollering. I'm on the phone. He doesn't know I'm on the fucking radio worldwide.
I just wanted to let you know that Blue Sporty joined us about 10 minutes ago. She's been listening to you, and she says, nice
oh,
to hear
Oh, that's my girl, man. Blues, man, that's my girl.
That's Blue out of Canada. That's the girl.
Over the socks.
I'll tell you a little story about Bill. He said we had Blue on one night, and... he had a couple of escapades with some Canadian women who always slept with their socks on, and that was it. So he asked Blue why they wore their socks, and her response was because their fucking feet were cold.
That's right.
She said the floors up in Canada are ice cold. They always wear their socks. I don't know. You know, hey, I'm not Don Juan.
Yeah.
I only slept with Canadian girls. They both had the socks on. What the heck, you know?
Well, what if you have a shoe? What if you have a feet fetish? You can't see them feet.
Maybe they were saving their socks in case we get married. That's me. I didn't think about
hello.
That.
Hey, Blue Sport is my partner. She's my sister. I love her to death.
She said to give you she's her ass off, but she said to give you a shout out.
A shout out back at her and love her to death. Much love and respect always. Listen, guys, I got to sign off.
Sure,
really
all right. Anytime.
You're welcome anytime.
Oh, I love the show. Thing
there, Joe.
I tapped in. I don't even know how I even got in, but you know what? Much love and respect to everybody out there. Be
One
safe.
Last question for you.
Yes.
How do you feel about the FBI?
They can kick my motherfucking ass. You know what I'm saying? I ain't no shame in my game.
There you go.
Right on.
And that's for real. I'm a grown woman. They can kiss my motherfucking ass.
That's the last thing that Blue said, she typed in three things. She said, that's right. She's barefoot now, and she says, love to you, too.
I'm barefoot, too. I'm barefoot, too. Barefoot Italian. Love you guys.
Hey.
All
right, good night.
Good night,
dear. Good night.
What
do we do? We lose them?
No, she hung up. Thank you. Thank you. That was cool.
Nice lady.
That's what we need, Bill. We need people to call in and say exactly how they feel.
They can talk about the weather. They can talk about the government. They talk about election. We want to talk about motorcycles, but we swear to God, we will never cut a person off.
No.
If I disagree with you, we'll give you every opportunity to explain yourself, providing you allow us to critique or dialogue back and forth. I will listen to you, and then I'll tell you you're an asshole, but I will listen to you first. I promise you on that.
Pete, how would you like to know how to impeach a cop right now for your traffic ticket?
How would I like to what?
How would you like to hear a guy tell you how you can impeach? You can
impeach a witness.
You can impeach the witness who is a cop.
Go
We're
for
talking
it.
About that beating those traffic tickets, Pete.
Go ahead. I'm going to have a glass of wine and get my hair done.
All right. Here we go. This is called.
Hi, I'm Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legoland, and this is part two of Beating Civil Traffic Tickets. And what I'm going to discuss today is how to impeach a witness, a government witness, by asking only two questions. And typically, when you get a traffic ticket, the only witness against you is a police officer. It's just basically your word against his. And as the accuser, see, a lot of people may say, well, these questions aren't appropriate for the police officer. Well, that's just going in and showing me that the officer's not competent to testify. He wrote the ticket. He's supposed to be able to answer questions, and he's supposed to have a right to confront your accuser and demand the nature and cause of the charge and proceedings. And he's supposed to be able to question the police officer or any witness on prior testimony, whether it's written or oral, and what he puts on the ticket is written testimony. He's making an allegation against you, and you're supposed to have every right to confront him and question him on it. They don't like you to ask questions because, as you'll see, it's very easy to show that the officer has no idea what he's talking about. They don't teach him these things, and even if he could answer the two questions, it doesn't help him. It just digs a deeper hole for them. And to show that, I want to just restate, from the last video, why you have government, because it forms the basis of the questions. And the public relations is, and we know this is all bull, we know this isn't true, but it's just propaganda, is that the government was created to protect and maintain individual rights. And you can find that in several state constitutions and the Declaration of Independence. So from there, we know that the jurisdiction of the court is, of course, limited to protecting and maintaining individual rights. Therefore, for there to be a case or controversy, as the courts have consistently held, there has to be the violation of someone's rights and damage. So the police officer, like everyone else, is required to file a valid cause of action, because without a valid cause of action, there is no standing, and the court acquires no subject matter jurisdiction and cannot proceed against you, or anyone for that matter. So the question is to have him impeached, and what I mean by impeached is just to show that he's legally disqualified from testifying, that his testimony is inadmissible against me, just whoever happens to be the defendant in that case. It doesn't mean he's removed from office. Well, that would be really good. That would be spectacular. However, that's not what it means. It just means he's not qualified to testify, and legally the judge has no discretion to accept his testimony, so it's got to be thrown out, and including his prior testimony, which would be the ticket. So the two questions are this. I would like to give the police officer a copy of the ticket. I'll hand him a copy and ask him, did you file a valid cause of action against me? Now, of course, he's going to have to say yes, and they usually allow him to answer that question because it's pretty obvious. If he doesn't have a valid cause of action, there's no standing, and the court has no subject matter jurisdiction, and the case has to be thrown out because the court is established to protect and maintain individual rights. The second question, the follow-up, that will cause usually both attorneys representing the police officer to jump out of their chairs. And the question is, how many elements are in a valid cause of action? And usually his attorneys will jump out of the chair yelling, objection, calls for a legal conclusion, the witness is incompetent to testify. Now, he can say he's unable to testify. They'll say it's outside the scope of his expertise. It means the same thing. He is not qualified to testify to those matters. If they allow him to answer the first question, that's okay, because it helps their case. But once you ask him to explain what he said, now they've got a problem with it. What they don't understand is that the judge will always sustain the objection, which is exactly what I'm looking for, which means the witness is incapable or unable or incompetent to testify, which now requires the judge to strike all the testimony. And it's that simple. Doesn't mean the case is going to get thrown out, because, again, traffic courts are scams ran by criminals. Yeah, they wear robes, they wear suits, but they're criminals nonetheless. But it's just that simple to be able to impeach a government witness.
Okay, now we're going to go to part three, Bill. What do you think about part two, Pete?
Informative.
Okay, here comes part three.
Hi, I'm Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legal Land. My website is adventuresinlegalland.com. And this is Beating Civil Traffic Tickets, Part 3, The Impossibility of a Fair Trial. Well, but I do have to warn you first, there is some government propaganda here that we're going to have to go through. That's one of the ways of showing that you cannot get a fair trial, though. See, those who are looking to steal your money, the guys who are doing business as a government, mainly, say, a traffic court in this case, desperately want you to believe that you can get a fair trial. They even tell you that if you ask them. They have things in here that says, an independent and honorable judiciary is indispensable to justice in our society. And there is also, a judge shall perform judicial duties without bias or prejudice. That's, of course, in the canons here in Arizona. It's pretty similar no matter where you go. This, of course, even goes Democrats in Canada trumpet the same propaganda. Quote, any person charged with an offense has the right to a fair hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal. That's the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Now, something tells me that charter doesn't include the right to be left alone. Well, you may be saying, how is that propaganda? That sounds pretty good. Everyone's supposed to be entitled to a fair trial. Well, it is nothing more than propaganda of public relations to make you believe that you're entitled to a fair trial, but that's impossible for them to give. And one of the ways to show that, of course, is that there's no such thing as an independent and impartial judiciary. Very simple to prove, and that's what we'll go through today. See, the technical term is conflict of interest to show that there is an impermissible conflict of interest. So let's say you have a ticket and unfortunately you have to go to court. So you ask the judge a series of questions that will show that there is a conflict of interest and that a fair trial is impossible. And the first question is, simple, am I entitled to a fair trial? Now, of course, most judges are going to say yes because, of course, that's the public relations, that's the propaganda. They have to make it look good while they're stealing your money. So now the judge is locked in. He says, I'm entitled to a fair trial. So, of course, my next question would be, can I get a fair trial if there is a conflict of interest? Well, this is obvious even to us non-lawyers, and every judge that I'm aware of has always answered this question, no, that you cannot get a fair trial if there's a conflict of interest. Now, this last question, I like to call the knockout question, and I call it that because it's really the only question that needs to be asked, and that is to prove that traffic courts are scams run by criminals. Now, the question is, and this is, of course, to the judge, who do you represent here? And, you know, that's the same as asking who the judge is acting on behalf of. Now, I got to tell you, and you can imagine, judges just hate to answer that question. And those who think the system is valid, boy, they hate to answer this question also. You know, most judges will not answer this question, and with good reason. This one simple little question exposes their entire scam. A fair trial is impossible. And don't make the mistake of thinking that this is not a very serious issue that they, at least in their propaganda, take very seriously. And look here, it says, in all trial court proceedings, a judge shall disclose on the record information that the judge believes the parties might consider relevant to the question of disqualification, even if the judge believes there is no actual basis for disqualification. But you see, most judges will not answer this simple question. Even though the law says that they shall disclose on the record the information, they will not do that. That's because they don't want their little scam to be exposed.
That baby you hear in the background is a baby dressed up as a judge whining.
Especially the rest of the people in the courtroom, because they may grab their wallets and run out of there, as they should. See, they refuse to answer the question and tend to get a bit irritated because it's what I mentioned before, bringing up the fact that there is a conflict of interest, showing that a fair trial is absolutely impossible. But you see, judges represent the state, which is the pretended plaintiff in a traffic case. Think about that for a moment. The judge is actually representing a party to the action. You still think judges are fair and independent? Well, let's look at some evidence. This is actually from a real case in the East Mesa Justice Court. This is actually one of the very few times a judge has been responsive to this simple question. You'll understand in a moment why they typically do not answer this question.
Also, who do you represent here? Who do I represent?
Yes.
I represent the state of Arizona.
Well, there you have it. A judge admitting he represents the state of Arizona, which is supposed to be a party to the action. Gee, talk about a conflict of interest. The judge is actually representing the party attacking you. Do you still think you get a fair trial from these guys? See, common sense dictates that if a judge is acting on behalf of a party, a fair trial is not possible. And that's how to prove the impossibility of a fair trial.
So what I'm going to do, Bill, I'm going to go back here, and Pete, I want you to listen to this guy. Just basically, this guy just destroys his own.
Hi, I'm Mark Stevens, author of Adventures.
This guy just destroys his own court case. This is hilarious.
I'm Ray. I'm here in traffic court, and I'm going to fight back.
When speed is caught up with this racing machine, and this machine, they were headed down Ocean Park.
Park this motorcycle doing 50 miles an hour.
He dropped the keys on the ground. I think he's going to stop a few times.
All right, sir. Well, the reason I stopped is just for you.
Being the handsome little stud that I am, I had a carload of girls chasing me, and I had to get away. My life depended on it.
The deal with my bike is it gets me in a lot of trouble.
This is one of the faster bikes around, well over 200 miles an hour, which I regularly do. There's no watching the judges. Forget I said it. race back, hoping to come out on top in court.
I'm here to fight another ticket, which I usually don't get because I normally don't stop. Broward County cops here are stupid. I don't like dealing with them. And usually when they do write me tickets, they usually mess them up. I guess I'm just going to go in and kick a little police ass.
Brian Raymond Ward.
Morning. Nice haircut.
Okay. Ray, are you prepared for trial?
I'm prepared.
Okay. Officer Akers, tell me what led you to write this gentleman a citation.
I observed the defendant's silver motorcycle traveling eastbound. Visually estimated the speed of the motorcycle to be 52 miles per hour. The speed reading that I obtained was 50 miles an hour.
Okay, and did the defendant make any statements to you that I need to know about?
He did admit that in the past he would have run from the police, but now that he's older and wiser, he chose not to.
Okay, so do you want to tell me what happened?
Yes, that morning I actually had just come from the gym, and I made the mistake of driving through the city without a shirt on. And I pulled up at a light, and there was a car that had several college-age teenage women who were actually pursuing me. I saw basically four wild, hungry lions licking their lips and sharpening their claws, and it was kind of intimidating, so I tried to get away from the scene. I think that's deserving of a break. And the fact also that for me to get a speeding ticket,
yeah,
going only 10 miles over the speed limit, for me is actually an insult.
It's actually 15.
15? Well,
mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better, but...
Okay.
My speeding tickets are normally, you know, in excess of 50 miles over the speed limit.
Do you think that that's something to be proud of?
Are you kidding me? I have a reputation to maintain.
And what would that reputation be?
I'm a bad little dude. That's what the guys think. The girls just say I'm a hot little dude.
Okay.
If I were to take my shirt off, you'd understand, and you probably would throw the ticket out and send me to house arrest at your house.
Okay, I doubt that. Very seriously.
Sure, make sure you're what I'm working with.
No.
I need to get your attention.
Playing with me is not going to help your case. All right, any other real defenses?
I complete insanity. Most of the people I know tell me I drive like I'm crazy, so...
In order for you to use the insanity defense, you would have to say that you were not competent to drive, and I would take your license until you became competent or sane. So do you still want to go forward with the insanity defense?
Well, I think probably...
I think probably you've exhausted your defenses unless you have something else to tell me about the actual speeding. Now, unfortunately, we don't accept striptease or arm wrestling. That's why we have a court. So on that basis, I've heard the evidence on behalf of the state and on behalf of the defense. I'm going to find the state's met their burden of proof regard to this citation. Take a look at your driving record, which is just as interesting as you are, Ray.
Thank you very much. I knew you'd say that eventually.
And this is really something. So on that basis, I'm going to find you guilty. It's going to be $200 plus cost. You have 60 days to pay. You don't have to go to school. And they're going to give you a paperwork.
There goes my party money for the weekend. Officer Baker, that's for you. What's black and red? That's right, bitch. It's the black and red Suzuki passing your squad car at 200 miles an hour.
Go from.
I heard that Ray's machine was full throttle outside of the courtroom. It's a good thing that he kept his machine on idle in front of me, or he could have wound up in a holding cell.
Well, I gotta tell you, thank God I know nobody like that at all, because, you know, you get what you deserve.
Yep.
And there must not be an intelligent test or something in his state.
That was Florida, though.
Yeah. whatever state he's from. That's just stupid.
Yeah. Well, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. What do you think about that, Pete?
I plead the insanity defense.
No?
That guy's an idiot. I'd like to smack him. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
he incriminated himself. And the judge got him because he said, I plead insanity because people say I drive crazy in the road. And she says, well, okay, I'll have to take your license because you're not capable of driving. So she nailed him right there on that one. What an idiot. I mean, was he on drugs or what? Did he go in there drunk? What a dumbass. Where'd you find that at?
It's on YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah. It's not even, it's just, it's so stupid to watch. I mean, you can hear it, but just seeing it, it's hilarious.
I'm claiming insanity. And the judge says, okay, I'll take your license from you then. And because you're not able to drive, you know, not capable of driving because you're insane. You know, oh my God, what an idiot.
Absolutely.
That's something you'd see like on TV, like on People's Court or something, you know.
Well, it's called the smoking gun, is what it was.
Oh, the smoking gun, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pete, I've always found when I go to court, a little bit of humility goes a long way. You don't have to intimidate, you don't have to patronize the judge. A little bit of humility, stick to your guns, and most important of all, just shut up. Don't give extra information out to everybody.
Well, Bill, it's just like when you see the lights come on behind you. You know, the first thing you should do is shut up.
Exactly.
You know, when I got arrested in my transcripts I was reading on last night, the state police, they were in back of me in an unmarked Dodge Charger, and I knew they were going to stop me because they thought I was on something and I wasn't. They tested me and all that. Well, they gave me a breathalyzer anyway. I blew 0.0 three times in a row, so they thought I was on some type of drug, and actually I was just tired. I was driven 100 miles. So I was already starting to pull into the breakdown lane, and they have those rumble strips here, you know, the rumble strips on the highway. And I pulled my Ford Explorer into the breakdown lane, and in the transcript at trial, the police said that I was driving in the breakdown lane for quite a while. All I was doing was pulling into the breakdown lane because I knew the cop was stopping me. He was on my ass, and I knew at any time the blue lights were going on, so they used that against me. And they actually said I was driving in the breakdown lane for like a quarter of a mile, which was bullshit because I was only in the breakdown lane for maybe 20 seconds, and the reason I went into the breakdown lane is because I was stopping because I know this guy was going to pull me over. They had a goddamn roadblock set up on me, but yet they didn't. They waited a mile before they pulled me over, so I started to pull over on my own because I knew they were stopping me, and the lights went on. So, but they tried to use that against me, and actually it worked because the judge believed it. He believed that I was driving in the breakdown lane. But, you know, like I said, that's what appeals are for, and I have a great appeals attorney. But my transcripts were 75 pages long, and it was 75 pages of bullshit. You know, I found it amusing what the cops said. You know, I really did. You know, they never got anything on me. They never gave me a drug test. I was just drowsy. I was sleepy. I was, you know, weaving. And he took one look at me and says, oh, my God, you know, it's Charlie Manson. Whatever they thought. They thought it was bad news, and they saw the support stickers on my back window. Long story short, handcuffs go on, you know, back to the barracks, bang, boom, boom, and in the cell.
I just get it on the side of the road.
You what?
He usually just jack me up on the side of the road, but I get handcuffed for my own safety. That's first.
So I don't understand why it took three cops to take me out of my car, first of all. Three state troopers took me out of my car when I wasn't fighting them. I did step out, but three of them grabbed me, and they were pretty decent-sized guys, and they pulled me out of the car, and there was two others with guns out. You know, I had no weapons on me, nothing. I had no drugs on me. I just found it to be a goddamn big, like a movie, you know. They had a dog, you know, oh, my God. I'm going to write a book about it, the whole thing. I'm going to write a book just on my arrest. Be a bestseller, I'm sure. Well, the bullshit.
You know, Pete, I can't understand. A while back, they pulled me over. My wife was on the back of my motorcycle. It was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to run your numbers and all that, so I told my wife, well, honey, why don't you go sit down and have a smoke? And he says, she can't move the scene. I said, why? How fast was she driving?
she's with you. She cannot move. She's going to be investigated. I go, why are you running my wife's driver's license if she's on the back of the motorcycle? He called up. Back up. We had all kind of shit here. He thought I was just starting World War III. I just asked a basic question. Why does my wife have to be standing here if I'm getting the ticket? She can't leave the scene. She's a witness and all that.
Did they ask her for her ID?
No.
Okay.
And he said she had to be there because they were going to ask her her ID. They asked her for nothing
in
the end.
Bill,
but
I know
they
you,
made her, me, you
in,
know.
In Massachusetts, you can't, if you get pulled over on a bike or in a car, people in the car can't be ID'd unless there's a criminal investigation going on. And they try to pull that shit on me many times still. And I tell them straight out, you know what? Unless you're investigating something, you cannot ask my brother and my mother for their identification. You know, so people
well,
are
the backup,
that.
But
go ahead.
You got better advice and all that. It wasn't necessarily, you know, adversarial to me. Just the fact is, he didn't want my wife to go 10 feet and sit down on the bus bench and have a cigarette. But when more of the cops came and all that, they implied to him, you know what? Well, this guy here was driving. This lady here has done nothing whatsoever. So they were polite to her. But there was just a rookie or a basic mistake. But I told him, I said, you can't just question my wife. She wasn't driving. She wasn't doing anything. Sometimes that's just the nature of our life. The right, Pete? We got to deal with bullshit. Pete, still there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you there for a minute.
Nature of our business, right? Sometimes we get pulled over. I don't
right.
expect no break. I don't expect anything. But I expect them to stay within the parameters of the law.
No, they won't and they don't. They don't and they won't. Yeah, unfortunately.
See, I don't know why they got to yell. There must be something on me that says I'm deaf. Because when they pull off, and God forbid they pull the gun, they are screaming at me. I'm thinking, what the hell are you?
Look,
we're only
5 feet
away from each other. You ever notice that? Why
look
the hell
did
they...
Gino. He was speeding. He was speeding, and a Ford Explorer got in his ass, a black one, an unmarked Ford Explorer. It was a state trooper. And he pulled him over, and before you know it, the highway was lit up with state police. And the guy got out of the Explorer. He was in plain clothes. He was a detective, and he started screaming at Gino. And Gino's 66 years old, an ex-1 percenter, and he don't take crap from anybody. But he said to the cop, "You don't have to scream at me." And they were like, "Whose car is this?" "It's my mother's car. Run the registration. Same last name." And they're like, "What's in the trunk?" And he said the whole time he was screaming at him, like he had done something, a big crime or something, you know. And he's like, "You don't have to. You can speak to me. You don't have to scream at me." You know, that's,
and when they're screaming at you, they're giving out mixed messages.
Yeah.
Put your hands over your head. No, sit down, lay down on the sidewalk. And I said, why can't just I have one person giving me directions, and why can't you just speak to me? I'm speaking to you, calm. What is your problem? Why are you screaming? And they continue to scream at me all the time. I can't understand that at all. Like somehow screaming is going to make it easy for me to understand what they're saying.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Maybe they think we're all deaf, Pete. I don't know.
Maybe they're just a bunch of assholes.
That's a possibility, too. That's a possibility.
Hold on, I got to take a sip of my wine.
We have, hey, Bill, we have a new, well, we had her. We lost her.
Well, who did we have that's no longer there? Where are they from?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Maybe it's one of Pete's harems that called in, maybe.
No. This is,
I can't wait to listen to the archives of this show.
Yeah, this is, well, we're going to have this, her name is Melanie Michelle Henry, and she's going to call in.
Who?
And Melanie Michelle Henry.
Oh, I thought, okay.
She's gonna send us some pictures and maybe be baby of the week, Bill. We had her in the studio, but I think we dropped her, so maybe we I'll see if I can call her back. Let me do that.
Let's do that. Pete, hang on. I know you'd rather talk to a good-looking girl than to me, anyway. So hang on a second. We'll see what's going on.
I'm actually sitting with a good-looking girl right now, but that's all right. I like talking to you, Bill. And Phil.
I never heard you describe Gino like that before.
No, say hi.
Hello.
See, I told you.
All right, what's your name, girl?
I'm Christine.
That's Gino's cousin. So you were close there, Bill.
Hello?
Hi, Melanie. We had you, but we lost you.
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Melanie. This is Bill Kennedy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know what? I'm trying to picture where Screwdriver says you're from Cameron, Missouri. And
yeah.
I got to apologize my ignorance. What would be a bigger city I would know? Something I would know being not familiar too much with Missouri.
Kansas City.
It's about 45 minutes north of Kansas City, yeah.
Okay. In case you didn't understand that, that was Pete from Massachusetts telling me where you live.
Hey, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I've been there. That's why I know.
I'm sorry.
No, I know. I'm sure you are.
Yeah, there's not much to do here.
No, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Nice house.
Well, actually, there's something to do there. You take some very nice pictures. That's why I approached you and wanted to know if you'd like to compete for Baby of the Week. I showed Bill your pictures, and he said, yeah, she's a good candidate.
Good. Thank you.
Are you comfortable with that, Melanie?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, good. Okay, then.
How did you get started in this? And
Well, about 5 years ago, I did a couple shows for a company called Cycle Connections, and then I kind of got out of it. And I got Facebook about 2 years ago, and I started doing some more modeling and just put some pictures up. And a lady approached me about doing promotions at bars, so I started doing that, and kind of just went from there. I've just been approached
mm-hmm.
mostly on Facebook and by photographers, and that's pretty much it. I love doing it. It's awesome. You meet a lot of really cool people. And I just got back from Sturgis on Monday. So
oh, good
that
for
was
you.
Awesome. Yeah, I actually got offered a couple jobs through that, so I'm hoping to pursue that some more.
Can I ask you, where did you stay at in Sturgis? Which campground?
We stayed at Glencoe, and then we stayed at the Starlight Inn, off the main road. Yeah. But we stayed at Glencoe. We actually worked at Glencoe during the day and then worked at Easy Rider at night. So we worked from about 11 o'clock in the morning to usually about 2 o'clock at night up there. It was crazy. It was definitely crazy. It was a lot of fun.
We, both Screwdriver and I, were missing Sturgis this year, but in a month or so, we'll be at the Las Vegas big party. We'll do a few things there. Did you get any bad weather out there this year?
It sprinkled a couple times. Other than that, it was beautiful up there. I mean, it was warm, but there was, no humidity. So I'm used to Missouri where the humidity is horrible. So I loved it up there. But I did come back sick, so I don't sound too great right now. Yeah,
I've had bad
I don't know
karma.
How that happened.
Leaving San Diego, I've had bad karma. I've tried to go up over the mountains to the Denver, then hang a left, and that didn't work out. Bad weather going over the Eisenhower Tunnel, Vail and Aspen, and I've had better luck going up to St. George, Utah, than up to Salt Lake and turning right, getting less rain. I don't mind a little rain. I'm not a wuss. It's just sometimes those thunderclouds come down hard, and it seems like I'm running from overpass to overpass, but hopefully next year we'll get a break.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm kind of glad that we didn't ride bikes up there. We actually drove in a truck, so... Because it did rain on us quite a bit going up there. Just after we got up there, there was hardly any rain at all. But, yeah, when on the way up there, we passed probably 600-700 motorcycles that were underneath the overpasses. I felt bad for them. It was crazy.
Those are my people.
Yeah, they were hardcore going up there.
Yeah, I can't get a break over there. It's just bad weather following me. What's that Charlie Brown cartoon with that one guy with the storm over his head? I forgot the guy. That seems to be in Sturgis. A lot of runs in Europe. I do a lot of runs in America. It's Sturgis.
Do you guys plan on going to Daytona Bike Week?
I'm not going to do Daytona, no. I'm going to be getting, our next plan is a 2,000-mile trip. We're going to end up coming back for the Las Vegas Bike Week. That's my very next one. Then we've got a whole section up there. I've done Daytona several times, and I've never been hassled by the police in Sturgis, but I have a bad time in Daytona. And I don't know why, because, nice guy, I think, and First impressions are important. No idea why. They keep pulling me over and pulling me over. I keep
pulling
my nose.
Well, what are you doing
guy.
Wrong?
Nothing. I told my nose guy Pete in Massachusetts, and I seem to get in all kind of trouble. I don't know. But
darn the
way. Have you been to like Gulfport, Mississippi for their runs over there?
No, I've actually never been to any big motorcycle rally but Sturgis.
Okay.
I've did a couple of small ones like in this area, but never a big one. So Sturgis
were you able,
was like
were you able to get to the, were you able to get to the blog?
To the what?
To the blog. Where gonna post your pictures. We have a daily blog. It gets 30,000 to 36,000 hits a day.
Wow. Yeah, I'll
we're
get
on
there.
It. Right
no,
now
haven't.
You're on it. Yeah, right now you're on in 38 countries worldwide.
Wow, that's amazing. Maybe I'll
you
get
know,
famous.
It does seem kind of crazy that, but this program we're doing right now, there's only four of us in America doing this, or four shows. This is truly the last bastion of freedom, as we say over and over. The government doesn't control us. There's no licensing. If you choose to slip out and say a bad word, we don't have a seven-second delay button. We have no restrictions whatsoever. We talk to Americans about American events. We mostly talk about the motorcycle world. But we've had people calling in about all kind of programs. The reason for this show is so, like, Pete's listening to you from Massachusetts right now.
Need
to know.
Pete's listening. We got Canada. We got
Canada's listening right now, too, and Finland.
Right, Finland.
Yeah, so there's people. We need to know what's going on. Like, Pete was telling us some of the problems right now in Massachusetts. And we have problems like Australia caught up last month with some of their problems. We need to disseminate information. It's only by knowing what's going on in other countries can prepare us for what goes wrong in America. What's going wrong in Massachusetts will affect Screwdriver and I in California here. There's so many laws being passed every single year. Nobody knows what's going on. But those laws that affect us, we need to understand them and share laws with other countries. So you have no idea how many people from strange countries are going to listen to you or going to see you on the air or listen to you right now. But I'm hoping that somebody contacts you. Somebody's got a legitimate, good program. Do you have like a manager, an agent? Or do you do your own investigations?
I pretty much do my own investigations. I have a fan page on Facebook, and I did have an agent up until the other day. But now I'm just kind of doing my own thing, trying to find my own. Well, actually, I want to start my own promotion company. So I'm looking for some girls that will work, like, locally, like in Kansas and Missouri, because we're kind of right on the border. So I'm basically going to look for some girls, try to start my own promotion company, you know,
well,
good quality girls.
I sent you a message how to get to the blog. You can check out the pictures of the girl that's the babe of the week this week.
Okay.
And then I sent you a follow-up message with my email address that you could send some pics to me with a little bio. And if you want to throw in there that you're looking for girls, and give me a link. I'll post that link, and they can get in contact with you.
That would be awesome.
Trev and I have no interest in any money. We're not here to help raise any money at all, but we want to help everybody. Americans help with Americans. Whatever you want to do, God bless you, hope it works out for you. I do want to be a little bit cautious and warn you, pay attention to people you're talking to. Make sure you're bringing good people in, because you're only as strong as your weakest link. If you've got,
exactly.
You bring a girl in, she's trouble, she is trouble. Get rid of her.
Yep.
Pay attention to the
I've
red.
I've been there, done that.
Okay. I don't mean to sound like your uncle or your grandfather, but I just want you to be careful.
Oh, I need a little lecturing, because I'm going out on my own. Never actually did that before, so I've always worked for somebody. So it's kind of scary, because you never know who you're going to run into, and you think that people are, you know, good quality people, to find out that they're really not. So I appreciate the expertise on that.
Please go with you. Feel one red flag,
and
just replace the girl.
Anything you're going to do at a distance, get money up front first.
Yeah, I've worked for a promotion company, and we did a show, my very first show with them, and they didn't get paid for it, and they were really ticked. So, yeah, that's one thing I have learned. If you're going to travel for people, get the money first.
Yeah, Mike, good. My businesses are in Europe and America, the works I do. I have everybody transfer money bank to bank. So right now, you're Missouri, you could send mine to my bank. That money be waiting for me tomorrow morning, my bank opened up. That, to me, I don't trust checks, I don't do cashier's checks, I don't do credit card, I don't do anything. Bank to bank transfer, and then my bank tells me the very next day, Mr. Kennedy, X number of dollars came in from Norway, for example. That is foolproof. Never get burnt on that.
Phil, young lady, I have to sign off. I have to truck home. I'm fine.
Hi, Pete, be careful.
Thanks for having me on. It was a fun show. And
good to meet you.
Check out the archive. It's going to be, it's pretty interesting.
I know. I can't wait to listen to it. It was pretty
okay.
funny. I'll see you Tuesday, Phil.
All right, man. Thank you.
Take care, Pete. Good night.
Take care. Bye.
See, Melody, what he was talking about was our first part of the show was dealing with how to deal. We had three parts, three videos on how to deal with traffic tickets, what you can do to fight it in certain ways.
Ooh, I needed that.
Yeah, in certain ways to, well, if you send me an email, I'll send you the links. And,
I totally will.
If you listen to the videos and you practice what this guy is telling you, I've done it. Bill's been surprised that I've done it, and I've actually had everything that's ever been except one dismissed. The last one I had, I had seven policemen standing to my right. I'm standing to the left representing myself, and I had the judge call me by name and say, is there anything else I can do for you today before I dismiss all the charges? And I said, yes, I'd like a writ of habeas corpus to get all my stuff back. And I got it. And basically, they love me now.
What we try to tell people is when you go to court, please show a little bit, a mockery of humility. But do not be afraid. This is just the dog catcher. This is the SDG&E people. This is the telephone. It's just an organization. You need to show a little humility, but do not be afraid of it. It's just another organization. You're an American. In an American court, you drove there in an American car. Why should you be afraid of the court? And yet people get so afraid, they say, I'll just pay the ticket.
And the other thing I'm going to tell you is if you have trouble with your license and you go to court and they ask you, how did you get to court today, what would you tell them?
Somebody drove you?
Do you know why I'm telling you that? Because once you go in that courtroom and you raise your right hand, now you're sworn in. So anything that you do after that, we had a gentleman last week that did that. He went to court and they asked him how he got there, and he said somebody dropped him off. They followed him right out to his bike and arrested him. So $15,000 later, he got out.
Of course, he was a member of the Bad Boy Club, so they follow those guys around pretty heavy. But the advice we're trying to give to you is, again, check everything very carefully. If you want to post anything up there, Screwdriver, post it out to the world. Truly, we have no interest in anything except to share information. And you'll meet some of our friends, and I hope something takes off for you. And with that, my stomach is grumbling. I'm hungry. I'm going to go home for dinner.
And while I have you on now, Sunday night usually is when I do the posting for the next week. So you've got a few days to send me what you want to post. And like I said, you can go look under... There's already some girls there. You can go look. On the right-hand side, as you scroll down on the blog page, you'll see the links. And if you click on that link, it'll pull up that story so you can see the pictures of the girls that are already there.
Okay.
And I'll leave them up to you. If you look at that, I'll leave it up to you to whatever you want to send us to post.
Okay.
This is a great way to expand your circle of friends and all that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love Facebook, too, though. That's a good way. And Philip has been one of my good Facebook fans.
Yes, and what I'd like you to do, too, is if you got a little more time and call in earlier Tuesday and sit down and write something out, what you want to do, how you want to do it, and I'll send me some of it, and I'll post it for you. And then I don't want you to give out a contact phone number right off the bat until things start going for you. But what you can do is if you want to set up an email account that people can contact you to whatever you want to do. Because
protect yourself always. Protect yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Because right now you're South America, North America, Mexico, Europe, China.
Yeah, I've
already
had to take my number off Facebook because that became a problem. So I totally am not going to give out a phone number, but I will set up an email and I'll send you some pictures tonight.
Would you do me a favor on Tuesday? Would you elaborate a little bit on the your experience at Sturgis? Like how many days you were there, talking about the weather and all that. Anything you share? Because a lot of people listening around that cannot go to Sturgis, they're not in the country or whatever, a friend of Mexico City, whatever, Finland, whatever. They kind of like to know how Sturgis was like from a person who was there. Okay, maybe on Tuesday?
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Okay, and if you have any questions, you have my cell phone number. Give me a call.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Philip.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.